It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh at three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having an outstanding Thursday. I am your host, Colbert. I am inside the Shirley Street studio. You are locked into a Thursday edition of the show. It is October 6th of 2022, and we are locked and loaded, like usual. All sorts of content to cram into our hour get-together. And however you are tuned in for it, I thank you very much, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, or on your smart speaker, or perhaps streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much. Can't thank you enough for tuning in. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page, type in 1650thefan. You'll find it. Hammer that like button. Then you'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark the website, not just for the stream, but also for all of the on-demand podcasts you can get there. Podcast of this show, of course. If you missed any interviews, you can go back, listen on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. Also this morning, the latest installment of the Coach's Huddle podcast can be found at 1650thefan.com. Mark Simpson joined last night once again between 6 and 7 from Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls by the four Metro High School football coaches. Cedar Falls is Brad Rimmert, Waterloo West, Lonnie Moore, Waterloo East, DeCarlos Anderson, and Brad Schmidt of Waterloo Columbus all joined, and we got the recaps of Week 6 and a preview of what's to come in Week 7. So, if you missed it, you can go back and listen, 1650thefan.com. Just click on the podcast link. You'll find it, or you can just scroll down a little ways on the homepage. You'll see it there, too. It's 1650thefan.com. All right, dial me up if you have any questions or comments to add at any point during the show today, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email me questions, comments, maybe you got some big predictions for the weekend. By all means, send them along. Always enjoy reading them. No, I might read them on the show, though. Try to keep your profanity to a minimum. I know it can be hard. And, yeah, so fire away. Email me, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up here in just a few short moments, as always, we'll get you area sports news and scores for your Thursday. After we're done there, we take the first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this beautiful, beautiful Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. It's like great bonfire weather out there, and you get a little bonfire going after football. That is, to me, that is just peak Americana, ladies and gentlemen. So hopefully you're able to enjoy this weather. After we hear from Megan Mulford, we'll come back in the second segment today, and because of Cubs baseball preempting the show on Tuesday, we're connecting today with our guy David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com. Does great work for the 24/7 Sports Network. You follow him on Twitter at David Eichel. And, of course, we look back on Iowa's loss to Michigan. Look ahead to what is a treacherous matchup for Iowa on the road at Illinois. Iowa has not won, or excuse me, Illinois has lost 8 in a row to the Hawkeyes. And I think you got to throw that stat out the window with just how good Brett Bielema's team is looking at 4-1 here in the early goings of the Big Ten season. So we'll hear from David not only on the Michigan game and then coming up with Illinois this weekend, but we talked to Iowa men's basketball yesterday on the show with ESPN College Basketball television analyst Kevin Lehman. It was Iowa men's basketball media day. So we'll make a little bit of time, just a little bit of time at the end of the conversation, just to get David's headlines from yesterday's media day as well. After we're done there, we will take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break, and we will talk high school football. Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson is going to join the show in the third segment today. And I know I've said this before, but hey, when there's a big game in the area, I tell you, I get on the phone, reach out, and we try to get one of the coaches on the show to preview these awesome matchups. There's just been incredible matchups throughout all classes up here in northeastern Iowa, eastern Iowa, so far this football season. And this week doesn't disappoint either, as a Week 7 matchup in 8-player pits number 3 Don Bosco against number 6 Gladbrook Rhinebeck. And we'll break down what I think is arguably the best game in the state tomorrow night. It'll be at Don Bosco as GR Rebels coach John Olson will join the show today in the third segment. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, come back for a final time, and wrap up the show. Real quick, this is what it sounded like yesterday on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, when the 2022 Cubs season came to an end.
And a fly ball into right center, pretty well hit, but it's playable. And Morrell's going to make the catch. And the Cubs win the ball game. 15-2, the final.
So some good vibes to go out of a otherwise not so great season for the Cubs. 15-2, they get that win, and I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm feeling optimistic. Seemed like things were enough. Things were kind of coming into place at the end of this season to set up for what I think is a very, very important offseason. We'll talk some Cubs off season here and there on the show. Excited for what next season might be able to bring, but a big, very important off season ahead. And can't wait for hot stove season to get here. I'll just put that out there. Love hot stove season. So Cubs baseball done. Crazy to think. It's like it takes forever, but when it's over, you're like, oh wait, that's already done. So we'll put the Cubs on the shelf for a while, but like I mentioned, we'll talk some Cubs throughout the offseason. Thursday night football coming up tonight. The Indianapolis Colts are on the road taking on the Denver Broncos. Coverage of that will begin at 6:30 tonight, so make a note of that. Just keep it locked right here on the Fan. And, I talked to UNI co-offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder this morning. I'll have a story later this evening or tomorrow morning in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. A really great conversation. Have really enjoyed the few conversations I've had so far with Bodie Reeder. And folks, just look at the numbers. He's come on the staff, and in conjunction with co-offensive coordinator Ryan Clanton and wide receivers coach Joe Gans, built a new scheme. And this UNI Panther offense, it is averaging the most total yards per game, since 2007. So you're getting offensive production on Saturdays from this UNI Panther football team. When you turn that game on or you go inside the Unidome, you're getting offensive production that has not been seen in more than a decade. So you can check out that story either later tonight or tomorrow morning at thegazette.com. As I mentioned, caught up with UNI co-offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder. Okay, let's dive right in. Area sports news and scores for Thursday. Today in Metro Volleyball, 5A 6th-ranked Cedar Falls is hosting a quadrangular with Waterloo East, 4A number 8 West Delaware, and Mason City. Meanwhile, in boys and girls cross country, both Cedar Falls and Waterloo West are competing at the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet. The meet is taking place at Seminole Valley in Cedar Rapids. That got underway, I think, less than an hour ago. The boys Class 4A state golf tournament gets underway tomorrow. This year's meet is taking place at Elmcrest Country Club in Cedar Rapids. Defending state champion Cedar Falls among the 12 schools competing. That meet takes place both tomorrow and Saturday. Good luck to the Tigers. Week 7 of the high school football season kicks off tomorrow night, and in area-ranked games, beginning in Class 4A, 3rd-ranked Waverly Shellrock plays at Mason City. In 3A, number 6 Independence hosts Charles City. In 1A, 5th-ranked Dyke New Hartford hosts Denver, while 7th-ranked Appleton Parkersburg visits Central Springs. In Class A, number 3 Grundy Center entertains BCLUW. And as I mentioned before, in 8 player, a top 10 tango, number 3 Don Bosco hosts number 6 Gladbrook Rhinebeck. Iowa men's basketball player Chris Murray has been named to the preseason All-Big Ten team. The junior forward averaged 9.7 points and 4 rebounds per game off the bench last season. Murray shared the team's Most Improved Player award with Tony Perkins last season. The Wartburg men's soccer team battled to a 0-0 draw with Central last night. The Knights are now 5-1-4 this season and 1-0-2 in American Rivers Conference play. Meanwhile, the 6th-ranked Wartburg women's soccer team rolled to a 4-1 win over Central last night in Waverly. The Knights raised their record to 11-0-1 this season and 3-0 in conference play. Katie Berglund scored a pair of goals for the Knights. And the UNI women's soccer team hosted Drake this afternoon. The match began at 3, and that has since gone final. That is a 1-1 draw. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we'll talk Iowa football, a little bit of Iowa basketball. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next. You're listening to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
Sports Flash.
Well, the Warriors are mending fences after a physical altercation between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Green apologized to the team today, not practice, while the rest of the team did. The Colts and Broncos look to turn it around after slow starts. They meet tonight in Denver to open Week 5. The Broncos are 2-2 and just lost running back Javonte Williams to a torn ACL and more. It's a big loss, but Russell Wilson said they have enough depth at that spot to recover.
Melvin will be great. I think Boone will be great. I know we just signed Murray, too. I got some other guys, too, on our team that are really good football players. So, we'll be okay. But obviously, missing a guy like 3-3, you never want to miss him and lose him.
Wilson is off to his slowest start yet after leaving Seattle. The Colts are 1-2-1 and won't have several key players, among them the league's leading rusher from a year ago, Jonathan Taylor, Shaq Leonard, and Julian Blackman. The Giants reportedly signing Landon Collins to the practice squad. He was a second-round pick of the team in 2015 and spent his first 4 seasons in New York. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers reportedly expected to return to lead the Longhorns against Oklahoma in their Red River rivalry on Saturday. I'm Rich Ackerman.
I'm JR. CBS Sports Radio has moved to SiriusXM Channel 158, or listen on your local affiliate station, the Odyssey app, or your smart speaker.
CBS Sports Radio.
The Cedar Valley Sports Leader is on your smart speaker. Just tell Alexa or Google to play 1650 The Fan.
Don't be fooled by Liz Mathis. She's just a rubber stamp for Biden and Pelosi.
Liberal Liz Mathis. Her campaign, bankrolled by Pelosi. Her radical agenda, the same as Pelosi's.
She wants higher taxes and more government spending, just like Pelosi.
Liz Mathis opposed the largest tax cut in Iowa history.
She thinks I should pay taxes on my retirement income.
Mathis even wants to tax the mileage on my car.
If you like Nancy Pelosi, you'll love Liz Mathis.
Liberal Liz Mathis. She'll be Pelosi's voice in Washington, not yours. The Iowa choice? Ashley Hinson. Hinson will stand up to the radical Pelosi agenda, not rubber stamp it.
Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are on the ballot here in Iowa, and they're going by the name Liz Mathis. I'm Ashley Hinson, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because we need to defeat them to take our country back.
Paid for by Ashley Hinson for Congress.
At National Brake Center in Waterloo, we do better brakes for the best price.
If you have your brakes done anywhere else, you're paying too much.
Hi, I'm Michael Weidman.
And I'm David Brookman.
National Brake Center, also specializing in new tires,
suspension, and tune-ups.
Come visit us at National Brake Center next to the Liberty Car Company at the corner of East Mullen and Mulberry in Waterloo.
Straight talk to keep you safe and save you money.
Call us or book online today at nationalbrakecenter.com.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update.
Two Major League Baseball wild card games are on the board. Cleveland hosting Tampa Bay Friday in Game 1. The Guardians minus a run and a half plus 180. The Rays getting a run and a half minus 220. On the money line, Tampa Bay plus 110. Cleveland minus 130 with an over-under of 6. Pitching matchup, Shane McClanahan goes for the Rays, Shane Bieber for the Guardians. Seattle and Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. Luis Castillo against Alex Manoa. Mariners plus a run and a half, minus 184. Toronto minus a run and a half, plus 152. On the money line, Mariners plus 126. Blue Jays minus 148, over under 7. Red hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 37. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 52. Mainly clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 31. Dry and turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the upper 50s to the upper 60s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 61.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan. And as promised, we are joined now by David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. Make sure you follow David on Twitter at David Eichold, of course, with some Cubs baseball to wrap up the season earlier this week. We didn't make our usual Tuesday connection, so we will talk a little bit about the Hawkeyes coming up short, or really just kind of getting pushed around by Michigan in that 27-14 loss last Saturday, and look ahead to a really tough Illinois team that Iowa's got to go on the road and play this Saturday. Also, yesterday on the show, of course, ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman was on with his recap of Iowa basketball media day. We'll talk a little bit about that as well with David as he joins us now. David, how you doing today? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, Cole, good to talk to you. It's been a busy week, but the best time of year when college football and basketball, when they intersect, it's vastly approaching. So I'm definitely excited to continue to ramp it up.
Yeah, overlap season is it's beautiful, and it also is madness. So looking forward to that time of the year, I think. First things first, though, let's start with that 27-14 loss. The Iowa Hawkeye football team had to Michigan last Saturday. Not looking to, get like a massive breakdown, David. It is Thursday after all, but as you look back on that game, what's still front of mind?
I mean, I still think it's how bad the offense is, Cole. I know some people look at the stats in that fourth quarter and say they make some strides. But the issues are far deeper than Spencer Petras. I actually think Petras has played pretty well over the past 2 weeks. I think that there are so many issues with Iowa's offense that every mistake Petras makes, people hyper-focus because that's the most obvious mistake. But when the game actually mattered, Iowa had 98 yards. They weren't sustaining drives. Iowa's defense allowed four scoring drives on the first five Michigan drives, the only one being when J.J. McCarthy tripped on the Tiger Hawk at midfield, the only way they stopped them. So I don't think Iowa's offense made strides. I think Petras is getting better. I think you can win games with the way he's playing, but I think there are so many other issues that are being overshadowed. And while Iowa ended it strong with that long touchdown drive that was capped off by Luke Lachey, mm-hmm. I mean, Michigan is playing not to lose. But I think when the game actually mattered, Iowa didn't show up. And I think everybody knew when it was 20-0, the game's over.
David, the run game, certainly you could have used so much more out of that. That would have made life so much easier for Spencer Petras, created you know, much more advantageous situations for him to be able to throw the ball. But and I think me and you have done a good job of this on this show, and I want to revisit it again today because I'm at this point where I look at that offensive line and go, okay, it's not like it's terrible. It's not like it's the worst offensive line in the Big Ten, but the thing is about Kirk Ferentz teams that was what they hung their hat on for so many years. Now, albeit, you know, there's been great players in the secondary, there's been great tight ends, but I think most Iowa football fans in the Ferentz era, they immediately think of great offensive lines. Here we are a year later, and I feel like we're having a very similar, if not identical, conversation about the shortcomings of the Iowa offensive line.
Yeah, I think you need to take a couple things into account. And I don't disagree with you. I think they are improving, but like Kirk said in the post-game press conference and this week, they have to improve faster. There's no doubt about it. I think when you look at the tape against Michigan, the team was pretty consistent, but they just weren't opening the holes for Caleb Johnson or LaShawn Williams, Connor Colby, and he's going to be a great player for Iowa. He's going to play on Sunday, so I want to preface it by saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he got absolutely cooked on that second-to-last drive in that Michigan game. I mean, he got beat on all three reps. Petras took a pair of sacks, got hit as he threw an incompletion on the first down. But I think next year is going to be the breakthrough year. I mean, you're going to have Connor Colby, who I think is going to move back to offensive guard next year. You're going to have Caden Proctor, who I think is going to step in and immediately start.
Yeah.
When you're the number one offensive tackle in the country, you better start. I think Mason Richmond, another year under his belt, will be good. And I think Logan Jones getting a year under his belt, actually playing offensive line, I think that's going to be a huge deal. Combine that with LaShawn Williams, Gavin Williams, and Caleb Johnson, I actually think Iowa's running game, I am very optimistic about the future of Iowa's running game. But like you mentioned, it could have opened up some things against Michigan. Iowa had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, but mm-hmm. I will say very questionable officiating. I didn't think it was as big of a deal as Kirk and a bunch of other people made it. The game was over, even despite the calls. But like Logan Jones got flagged for unnecessary roughness for finishing a block, Cole. I mean, that was art. I mean, that's unequivocal, just boneheaded call by the official there. I think that's dangerous for football if that's the precedent we set. But like you said, I think that it's going to be very interesting to see how they grow following the bye week and for the rest of the season, because I think if Iowa doesn't make strides next year with all the experience and natural talent they have at the position, then I think we need to start really looking into changing either Iowa's running scheme or who's leading the offensive line.
When it comes to that illegal block, it just made me think that, and of course, this is everywhere in the NFL too, where you can understand the spirit of the rule. It's to keep players safe, but at times, and it's safe to say at times, if not more often, that it's like they're not just trying to legislate illegal hits, what are now deemed as illegal hits or illegal contact, out of the game. It's like they're trying to take violence out of the game. And you're not going to take that out of the game because, guess what? These guys are really good, and they're going to be able to hit people legally, and it's also going to look really violent at times. And that's the thing where it's like, guys, like your job is to get the illegal hits out of the game, not just violence, you know, as a blanket out of the game.
It's like playing basketball with no hoop and no ball. I mean, if you're trying to eliminate violence from football, it's impossible. It really is. Even the most routine tackles, of course, there are safer ways to tackle. Okay, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But the game is violent. You're running 20 miles an hour, especially kickoffs. You know, that's full speed. Now, if you eliminate kickoffs, I still think it's a stupid thing to do, but I understand why there's constant conversations about it. But you can't take violence out of football, and that is a textbook absolute perfect pancake block by Logan Jones. I asked him about what they said in the film room, and Logan just said, I'm playing to the end of the whistle. I'm not changing what I'm doing. The coaches aren't telling me to change what I'm doing. I'm going to play the whistle. And the crazy part, Cole, it wasn't even close to the whistle. Like, there was a ball play. It was the most routine pancake block I remember seeing. So, like you said, I think it was a one in a million mistake by the official. I don't anticipate it'll happen again. I anticipate the Big Ten will talk to whoever called it. But if we're going off reasons why Iowa lost, against Michigan. Let's not, I mean, I don't want to act like it was the officials. That's probably the 10,001st reason Iowa lost to Michigan.
They keep calling penalties like that, though. We may as well call ourselves France and start playing soccer. Seriously, like, what are we doing?
That was good.
What are we doing?
I'll give you that.
David,
I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I don't anticipate it being a problem. But again, if that's the way the officials are going to start deeming, that's just scary to me. It's not like a defensive tackle over hitting a quarterback after they get rid of the football.
Right.
So,
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at David Eicholt. All right, let's talk about the Fighting Bielemas. Illinois, I mean, they're legit. What's their record? Are they 4-1?
They are. The only team they've lost to is Indiana.
Okay, so they've only lost to Indiana. They're 4-1. They've got an outstanding running back, outstanding running game. I mean, how much of what the brand of Wisconsin football was under Brett Bielema has made its way to Champaign? And it's one thing to say that, David, but I mean, it seems pretty legit. It seems like he's quickly, I don't want to say like, I think maybe the best way to put it is he's quickly raised the floor of that program.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think this game for Iowa and Illinois, I think they're two must win. I think it's more of a must win for Iowa. But if Illinois wants to take the next step as a program, I mean, they have to beat Iowa. They've lost 8 straight against them. And this is an Illinois team that just got Paul Chryst fired from Wisconsin. And this is an Illinois team that held Braylon Allen and the Wisconsin Badger team to 2 rushing yards. Jeez. I don't think we'll ever see that again because Wisconsin's running game, I think the entire country has respect for. I think Brett's done a fantastic job. I think Chase Brown's been one of the more underrated backs in the Big Ten for the past couple of seasons. But the big thing that I've seen change for Illinois, one, it's a mindset and it's a swagger. I think they're more disciplined under Brett Bielema. 2, Tommy DeVito at quarterback has been just so much more of a stabilizing force for them. I mean, he's completing 70% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, making good decisions. And they're actually able to utilize their athleticism on the outside since they have a quarterback that can get them the ball. So no question about it, they're going to run the football. Their offensive line's been very good, and their defense. I mean, they're among the scoring defense leaders in the country right now. And I think under Lovie Smith, they're one of the more physical defenses in the entire country.
Yeah.
I think they still kept that same level of physicality, but I also think they're a lot more sound in their techniques and they're a lot smarter under Brett Bielema. And remember, Cole, this is the first time Brett Bielema has been able to coach against Iowa since being at Illinois because he was out last year due to having COVID and the COVID protocol is still in place. So there's going to be a little bit of extra motivation in that as well.
I forgot about that, and it just makes me think, because you mentioned how this game could be deemed a must-win for both teams. I remember when I first looked at this game, and I'm thinking, like, I didn't think must-win, but for some reason my mind went to, like, I feel like this could be a swing game for whichever team's season, and I think that probably it fits under the umbrella of calling it a must-win. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's no real data to tell you that I'm right or wrong about it. It just feels like either of these teams' fortunes will or could go one particular direction given how this game plays out.
I know people are going to say I'm overreacting or hitting the panic button, Cole, but if Iowa loses this game, I very much am worried about Iowa even getting bowl eligible.
Oof.
And that's crazy to me considering I picked Iowa to go 10-2 this season. I know. I was right last year, game by game. This year, it's off to a rough start. But look at how wide open the Big Ten West is.
Yeah.
And Iowa gets a bye week after this game against Illinois. They can reset, but guess who they have coming out right away?
Yeah, Ohio State.
The mighty Buckeyes of Ohio State, who probably get, you know, Iowa doesn't allow 50, rarely. I will be surprised if Ohio State doesn't score 50. That's just how good I that's how much faith I have in their offense. Nothing against Iowa's defense. I think Iowa's defense will hold strong for a while, but Cole, that means Iowa's 3-4 going down the stretch of the Big Ten West. I'm not sleeping on Nebraska with Casey Thompson and that offense right now. They look good. They look like a legitimate, dangerous offense. Wisconsin, Iowa, it's going to be a battle regardless of whatever happens.
Yep.
Purdue, I'm not picking them against Purdue. I mean,
no.
This is a very much must-win game for Iowa, I think.
Wow. Wow, some major stakes in Champaign this weekend. Who'd have thought? But David, before I let you go, Iowa men's basketball held their media day yesterday. We talked some Iowa hoops yesterday on the show, but want to make sure and hear from you about it. I mean, what were, you know, your biggest one or two takeaways typically on a media day? There's not much news that's broke. Maybe sometimes someone shares an opinion. You get a little bit of information about an athlete that's, you know, got hurt or played well in practice recently. What, if anything, did we learn?
Well, number one, Cole, it's nice to actually talk about an Iowa offense that can put up points on the board. Okay, that was just a very much refreshing change. Well, but, you know, I do think a couple of things. One, I think Connor McCaffrey is going to be vital to this team. This is a guy who's been hurt through a lot of his career, but also balancing two sports. So this is the first offseason he's been able to dedicate strictly to basketball. And I think that's going to be a very big part in his development, his contributions to the team. And number two, this is going to be one of the most versatile rosters that Fran's had since he's been at Iowa. I mean, they're loaded with 6'8", 6'9" shooters that can play multiple positions. They talked about playing Peyton Sanford at the two, and I think that would be an incredible lineup combination. And they're talking about playing some Tony Perkins at the one. So if you have Perkins at the one, Sanford at the two, Patrick McCaffrey at the three, Chris Murray at the four, and then you throw Philip Robracha at the five, that is going to be one fun, versatile, long, athletic lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch because there are plenty of question marks about this team. Do they have enough shooting? I think you can make a case they do on paper, but it's another thing to do it in the game. And, you know, who's going to score with their back to the basket? And then can Chris Murray – I hope not everybody's expecting him to do what his brother did, but, you know, how much better will he be this season?
I think he's going to take that next step. I think he's always had it. I think the thing that made Keegan so great last year, between that his freshman year and last year, was his mental growth and to have the confidence to say, I can go out there and do this. And I think Chris Murray knows that. And on top of that, Cole, he won't need to do as much as Keegan did. He has more proven help around him. I mean, like I said, Peyton Sanford, I think, is going to hit 90-plus threes. It will surprise me if he doesn't, given his playing time. They have more proven help. And when I asked Fran about the athleticism and versatility of this team yesterday, this is something that really stuck out to me. Fran basically, you know, diverted the question and says, yeah, that's great, but all those guys need to rebound the basketball. And Iowa last year was 20-1 when they out-rebounded their opponents.
I remember a few conversations on this show about rebounding the basketball. So that's one of a lot of things to keep an eye on early in the season for the Hawkeyes. David, got to run. Great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, I appreciate it, Cole. Take care.
David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. We'll talk some high school football. Number 3, Don Bosco, hosts number 6, Gladbrook Rhinebeck, in an 8-player top 10 battle tomorrow night. GR Rebels coach John Olson will join us next to preview the big game. You're listening to Cole & Company on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is presented by Iowa's locally owned electric cooperatives, reminding you to be aware of your surroundings in the field this fall.
Good afternoon, I'm Todd Kim. American Rivers Conference powers collide in Pella Saturday when 20th-ranked Wartburg visits number 24 Central. Wartburg is 5-0, and the defense has given up only 10 points all season. Coach Chris Winter says it's always a big game when these two meet.
Central's got a good group of guys. They're good players, but also good people, and do things the right way with their program. And I feel like, you know, we do the same here. So it's two, you know, well-coached programs that have a great, you know, culture, you know, within their program. And a great history, and so it's a lot of fun.
While the Knights look to stay unbeaten in conference play, it's a must-win for the Dutch if they hope to win a third consecutive conference championship. Central open league play with a 38-35 loss at home against Loras. This is Radio Iowa.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. Go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Want the best for your business? Call Steve Shoemaker with Brummel Madsen Insurance in Cedar Falls at 266-2644 to learn why Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the top choice for health coverage that meets your needs. Steve Shoemaker is a local, authorized, independent agent for Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa. Call Brummel Madsen Insurance in downtown Cedar Falls today.
Who's ready for a football game under the lights of Jack Trice Stadium? We'll catch the Cyclones in action this Saturday at 6:30 as they take on the Kansas State Wildcats. Tickets are available for as low as $50. Order your tickets today at cyclones.com and enjoy a Saturday spent with friends and family under the bright lights at Jack Trice Stadium. Iowa State versus Kansas State, Saturday at 6:30. Get your tickets now at cyclones.com for just $50. Grab those tickets now because this is a Big 12 showdown you won't want to miss.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach MindLinks.
My name is Ann Berry, and my business is Berry Associates with Shackley. Heather is unique in the fact that when she coaches, she makes you feel like you can do anything. At the same time, she holds your feet to the fire. She's always willing to give me resources. She always has me test and measure. Just a really good, soft, edgy approach. She's both. I think for anyone that wants to become a better person, make more money, make the most of the next year, would be doing themselves a favor by saying, I want to work with Heather, because she helps you work on yourself, helps you work on your business, and not just be busy working in your business.
Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have.
You are listening to the one-stop shop for
Hi everyone, this is your local channel technical agronomist Matthew Nelson. Now that harvest results are pouring in across Iowa, I thought it would be helpful to spend a minute on the trends we're seeing here in the central part of the state. Channel products are showing strong yield potential despite stressful conditions as rainfall was variable across the region. As for our soybeans, our XtendFlex soybeans have been displaying strong standability this season. Our warm and dry conditions shorten the height on some products this year and can make for an easier harvest. And last but not least, channel corn is coming in strong with kernel depth and test weight as our lineup has played well off this season's better weather conditions for grain fill in late August and early September. From all of us at Channel, have a safe harvest. Define your future and sign up to get local harvest results from Channel sent to you by text or by email at channel.com/yield.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. Talking some high school football now as not too far from the Shirley Street studio. About a 20-25 minute commute to the south-southeast. One of the absolute biggest games in week 7 of the high school football season will be taking place tomorrow night. And that is when the third-ranked Don Bosco Dons play host to sixth-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck. And Rebels coach John Olson is kind enough to join us on the show to break it all down and let us know about his Gladbrook Rhinebeck team that's off to a 6-0 start. Coach Olson, I'd ask you how you're doing today, but I would hope that you're doing great because your team's off to a good start and the weather's been beautiful.
Yeah, it's been awesome outside. It's been one of the best falls probably ever for football season.
Yeah, it really has, and it looks like it's going to maybe more football weather tomorrow night. Things are going to cool off a little bit, and before we dig in on that big matchup tomorrow night with the Dons, let's first start with last Friday. Your team gets yet another really big win, 78-0 over Northwood Kinzett, and Coach, that's the kind of game where I would imagine there's certain things that when it gets out of hand like that, that you want to make sure you're checking certain boxes, getting certain players in, maybe making some calls, things of that nature. What can you tell us in terms of you know, after that game gets out of hand, were you guys able to kind of get some things done that I would imagine you wanted to see?
Well, that was just a great experience for our kids. We played at Wartburg, so that was not just a challenge for us, but just an exciting experience for all of our kids. And we played on a Thursday night. Those are two things that probably never happened in eight-man football, and those are two things that, you know, never really happened to us. So we're excited to get our kids involved there. We're pretty fortunate that we have, 16 to 20 juniors and seniors out. So we played a lot of our juniors and seniors on that field because we want to get them the experience that they deserve as hard as they've worked throughout the season. And freshmen and sophomores played a little bit, but at the same time, they had a big game coming up on Monday. So we played a lot of juniors and seniors, some sophomores and freshmen here and there, but just the experience of playing at Wartburg, it's such an awesome deal for our kids.
Yeah, that's very cool. What came together or what happened to provoke a Thursday night game at Wartburg, Coach?
Well, you know, Meskwaki was supposed to play us in a week six game, and they don't have a program, and Rockford was supposed to play Northrop Kinzig. And I'll give their AD at Northrop Kinzig a props here. He called me up, and I don't know, maybe a week before the season started, and said, let's play. I said, let's do it. And so we thought about playing on a Friday night. And, you know, by that time, a lot of the refs were already taken.
Yeah.
You know, everything was pretty much filled, and neither one of us necessarily wanted to travel, you know, 2.5 hours to the other place. I said, well, let's do something in the middle. We played at Wartburg before when we were an 11-man team, but let's see if we can't squeeze an 8-man deal out of the thing. And then we decided to put it on a Thursday night to make it even extra special. And it's just a good experience for the kids and, you know, a good experience for our coaching staff and all the fans.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. I think all that speaks to the beauty of Iowa high school football. As Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson is our guest right now on a Thursday edition of the show. All right, Coach, your team's 6-0. That's a pretty decent-sized body of work here. We're more than halfway through the regular season. So when you look at your team and its body of work, what have you liked the most?
I just think the ability on the offensive side to do a little bit of everything. I think 3 years ago I talked to you about, you know, every time we said hut, we ran the ball. And that's all we really could do, and we were really good at that. But when it got down to it, we played against the Don Boscos of the world, and we just couldn't quite hang with them. And last year, we were pretty much a pass-only team. That's the type of kids we had, and it worked pretty well for us. And we get to Don Bosco, and we almost could hang with them. This year, we're able to do both. I'm not sure if we'll be able to hang with them or not, but we can run the ball and pass the ball. We've got some pretty good players everywhere, got a good offensive line. And then on the defensive side of it, we really lost a lot of people from last year, but we got some newcomers that are coming in, brand-new linebackers, brand-new defensive backs, defensive linemen, and our Brett Bangin and our defensive coaches have really stepped up and done a tremendous job on the defensive side this year.
And, Coach, have you had to make many adjustments throughout the season? Or, I mean, what would you say in terms of maybe how you've learned about this team and been able to maybe up your game to help them out?
Well, I think it's probably more about our personnel. You know, we've started the season with two really good quarterbacks. You know, we started the season with a bunch of different defensive linemen, so we had to make an adjustment. You can't play with two quarterbacks. And so Drew Eilers is an awesome quarterback for us, but guess what? He's really good at the H-back and the Z and blocking up front and running the ball and catching the pass. So we thought it'd be a good idea to put him where he can use more talent than just throwing the ball. And then, you know, Isaac Clark at quarterback done a tremendous job. You know, that goes along with all of our receivers and all of our offensive line that are doing a great job. And then on the defensive side of the ball, someone like Logan Gieskin, who we knew was in our top 10 guys, but we didn't know if he's a defensive lineman. Is he a linebacker? Is he a cornerback?
Mm-hmm.
So he's so versatile, he can kind of do whatever. So as a coaching staff, I don't know if the adjustments were X's and O's as much as they were just trying to make sure we get the guys in the field that kind of fit in the right spots and make us the best team we can be.
Your junior quarterback, Isaac Clark, and your junior running back, Austin Vavrka, have been great this season. I would imagine, Coach Olson, that you've liked what you've gotten out of your offensive line by nature of those two being able to produce at the level they have?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, our offensive line, we have Henry Musick coming back from last year, and the other two players, Michael Boyd, only a sophomore, barely even started last year in the JV team. And then we've got Luke Sinknick, who plays the other guard spot for us, and he does a tremendous job. He didn't play at all really much last year at the varsity level. So to get those guys ready to go and get those guys to know our blocking schemes and make the adjustments that we can, they've been a big help for us.
Few more minutes here with Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. They take on third-ranked Don Bosco tomorrow night. The Rebels are ranked sixth. And, Coach, 32.5 sacks through these six games for your Rebels defense. That's about 5.5 per game. And you've got a sophomore in Drew Eilers who's got a third of them. Did you see any of this coming, whether it was your defense as a unit? You guys scheme it up like this on purpose? And did you see this coming from Drew?
Well, you know, at the end of last season, I will tell you, no, I didn't see this coming from our defense. But as good of a coach as we've got in defensive line coach Brett Barnes and good coach in Brett Bangin as our defensive coordinator, then you take a look at Drew Eilers as an example, a guy who was a freshman last year who didn't even really play defense for us. But, man, the amount of work that he's put in the offseason after his seventh and eighth grade year and just bulked up and just the aggressive style that he plays, you know, it does not surprise me out of him. You got to give all the credit to him, and credit to Luke Sinknick and Henry Musig and then Michael Boyd again coming on the defensive line. And just those guys work really, really hard, and they're coached really, really well by our defensive coaches. And, you know, they're going to give it everything they got, and they don't quit. And they got a pretty good motor. We just hope it's, you know, we can put them up against Don Bosco too, which is going to be a heck of a fight for us.
Coach, you mentioned how your offense has changed, evolved, given personnel over the past few seasons. I know that Don Bosco, that they've got a reputation in terms of how they operate, but I know that they've changed a little bit too. They're not a carbon copy of what they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. So what's the scouting report tell us about this Don Bosco team?
Well, you know, they got just a really experienced, awesome coaching staff. So they're going to use their talent and their ability the way they know best. You know, but the one thing you're going to get out of Don Bosco is just the physical play. It doesn't matter if they're throwing a 5-yard hitch, a 20-yard go route, or whatever they're doing, if they're going to run the ball down your throat. Their offensive line is going to be physical. Their receivers are going to try to come off the ball and be physical. The running backs are going to run hard. You know they're coached well. They don't make a lot of mistakes. You know, everything you could possibly say about a team that's as dominant as Don Bosco has been in a long time, that's who they are. And we're trying to, you know, emulate that and try to get to that position and trying to learn, you know, how to play defense with only 8 guys on the field instead of 11. But we're getting there.
And when it comes to, obviously, like, this is a matchup that's built up. I mean, I think it's safe to say it's become a rivalry as your program has continued to grow and become a better product. And you've got some young guys on your team that I'm sure they're just salivating at this game tomorrow night and so badly want to beat the Dons before, you know, their time is up at Gladbrook Rhinebeck. How do you reckon with that? Because, I mean, the mental side of this game, it certainly, I think it's fair to say, it kind of stands apart with respect to your other regular season games.
You know, you're not going to believe it when I tell you this, but winning is not the most important thing in this game. We don't really talk about it with our team, you know, except for the fact that here's the deal. If we go there and we play the best game we ever play in our life,
yeah,
and Don Bosco's 20 points better than us, we still play Collins Maxwell next week. I know that's not fun to say, that's not great for the fans to think of, or maybe the media to think about, but we still play Collins Maxwell next week. We still have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. And if we win tomorrow night, we play out of our mind, and we win by 20 points, we still play Collins Maxwell next week. Like I said, it's not fancy to say, but our kids don't get so jacked up for certain games, because if you do,
yeah,
sometimes you just get out of your mind a little bit. And, you know, kind of bring it back a little bit. I don't know who said it, probably someone a lot smarter than me, but it's not a rivalry until one team wins. You know, and we haven't won yet. So I give them all the credit in the world at Don Bosco. We've had 3 shots at him, whatever it's been, and we're going to play him tomorrow night just like we're playing anybody else, and I hope we play air-free. I hope we play awesome. I know our kids are going to play with a motor. We're going to play as hard as we possibly can, and we'll see what we can do.
How about the keys, Coach? You got to block. You got to tackle. You mentioned effort. Can't have penalties, but give me a little something beyond the obvious about what's got to get done tomorrow night so you guys can have a chance in the second half.
Well, you know, there's 2 things that just jump out at me. Okay, number one, there's going to be 10 plays tomorrow night that are called winning plays. Now, that might be something simple, like on 3rd and 3 in the first quarter, you know, that extends a drive. And instead of being 4th and 10 and you're punting, you go on a long drive. So there's going to be 10 plays tomorrow night, and they're going to be winning plays. And are we going to get more than them? That's one thing. And I don't think it's going to be a game that's going to be 8-6, so it's probably going to be a game that's in the 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be 5 opportunities on both sides of the ball for extra points. And if we score on all 5 of them, that's 10 free points for us. And if we stop them on them, that's a 20-point swing. So those winning plays also happen on those 2-point conversions. So I think 2-point conversions, you know, the special teams when they have to happen, and then obviously, you know, like I said before, those 10 winning plays throughout the game, I think those are just going to really jump out. you know, maybe you won't know at the moment, but at the end of the mm-hmm. game, you're going to look back and be like, okay, that's a lot of plays right there that I think could have made a difference in the ballgame.
Fascinating approach and a respectable approach to this matchup, Coach, and a great breakdown of what's going to go in to this game tomorrow night and what'll make the difference. And can't thank you enough, as always. Great to catch up with you. Best of luck, best of health to your team the rest of the way.
You got it. I appreciate the support. Thank you.
John Olson, Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School football coach, kind enough to join us on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
Scott Graham from Westwood One inviting you to join us for Thursday night primetime from Denver when Russell Wilson and the Broncos host the Colts. Matt Ryan in Indianapolis look to bounce back from a loss to the Titans last week, and Denver's coming off a loss at the Raiders, but hopes to build on their 2-0 record at home. Spiro Dedis and Ryan Harris will call the action on Thursday Night Football.
Get maximum sports on 1650 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle and budget. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with peak long life universal pre-mixed antifreeze and coolant. Now just $399 after mail-in rebate. Limits apply. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Carry, the world's leading taste and nutrition company for food, beverage, and pharmaceutical, is hiring. Be part of a worldwide team that's shaping the future of food. If you're dependable, can lift up to 50 pounds repetitively, and want to grow your career, join the Carry team in Vinton. Carry offers a $1,500 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, full benefits, including excellent health insurance, 3 weeks paid time off beginning year two, paid holidays, and stability within a clean, team-oriented environment. Visit jobs.carry.com to apply today. Carry is an equal opportunity employer.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Colts have had a rich history under center. Johnny Unitas, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, generational talent. But since Luck's surprise retirement ahead of the 2019 season, the Colts have struggled to find a new quarterback. The team has made multiple efforts to find a serviceable quarterback. Team traded for Carson Wentz last season. That didn't work out. The team has since transitioned to former MVP Matt Ryan. And just like Wentz, the quarterback hasn't lived up to the hype. The struggling Colts will look to create some momentum tonight against the Broncos. But with Jonathan Taylor out with an ankle injury, Ryan may be forced to shoulder most of the offensive load. Now, one game won't define a team for the remainder of the regular season. But if Ryan and the Colts struggle again tonight in Denver, maybe time to ditch the veteran quarterback approach. Maybe start to look for a long-term answer under center. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Energy is something we have less of as we get older, and that's why I take M-Drive supplements for driven guys with clinically tested ingredients for healthy T levels and the drive to get things done. M-Drive can help you stay motivated and energized. And now you can try M-Drive for only $5. Text DAN to 55,000. Claim your offer. M-Drive. Text DAN, 55,000. Get your first order, $5. Accomplish more with M-Drive. Message and data rates may apply. We all drive, and we're going to have to replace our tires. I trust the experts at TireRack.com because for over 40 years, they've been revolutionizing tire buying. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Try their easy-to-use tire decision guide to find out the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Their extensive selection includes the full lineup of Yokohama Advan and their Geolander tires. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. Got to thank David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com. as well as Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson for joining today's show. A lot of fun was had. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen here soon in less than 5 minutes' time in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. Thursday night football coming up in a half hour. You'll get a little bit of the Zach Gelb show, Jim Rome's daily commentary before we join our friends at Westwood One Sports at 6:30. The Indianapolis Colts needing a win. So do the Broncos. They need a win, too. Game in Denver tonight. Who you got? I'll take the Broncos. Yeah.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.